It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
We're back here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, only on Giants.com, and we're joined by beat reporter from Newsday of the New York Football Giants. That's, of course, Tom Rock. Tom, how's the offseason treating you, buddy?
Pretty quiet compared to the other team in town, John.
Yeah, I'd say no Tim Tebow-like press conferences here at the Timex Performance Center, thankfully. I do want to get your take, though, on some of the stuff the Giants have been doing in the offseason. Let's start with some of the guys that they lost, and we'll go with Mario Manningham first on his way to San Francisco. Where do the Giants turn now to fill that third wide receiver spot?
Well, I think they're going to try and find another Victor Cruz in the group that they have. Obviously, Ramses Barden is one of the potential guys to fill in that spot. And they have Jarrell Jernigan. Now, both of those guys were mid-round draft picks, so it's not quite going to be a Victor Cruz out-of-nowhere story if they do hit and catch on. But I'm sure they'll pick up another receiver in the draft and see what they can do and go young. You know, last year they turned away from Steve Smith and Kevin Boss and felt like they had replacements already on the roster and they were proved right. And this year it looks like they're doing the same thing with John Goff and Mario Manningham.
Do you think that they prefer a bigger guy like Ramses Barden to fill that role, who maybe doesn't have the top-end speed, or will they look to a guy like Jernigan, who's really more of the prototypical slot guy, a little quicker, a little smaller, a little bit more speed?
Yeah, you would say that Jernigan is built more for that job and probably has a better skill set. But, you know, who's to say that they can't use Ramses Barden almost the way that the Saints might use a Jimmy Graham type of a character, set him out wide. He doesn't have to be lined up on the line. Obviously, Ramses Barden isn't going to be playing tight end for you, but he can go in that slot and sort of run those seam routes. And you know, Jake Ballard is a big guy, and he did pretty well running those deep seams and sometimes coming out of the slot. So I think they'll probably look to both of them and see which one works out. You know, obviously, when you think of a slot receiver, you think, you know, two guys in recent years come to mind, and that's Wes Welker and Steve Smith when he was healthy, and Jarrell Jernigan certainly looks a lot more like those guys in terms of his body size and shape.
And, of course, one other guy the Giants, I'm sure, will hope to send down the seam this year is Martellus Bennett, a guy they bring in from their division rival Dallas Cowboys. He has the size, he has the speed, he has the athleticism. Those things have never been an issue. Production has been an issue. He really didn't do a whole lot in Dallas. Granted, he was playing behind and alongside Jason Witten, but the Giants certainly have pretty high hopes for him coming in.
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting pick, and obviously it's a one-year deal, so it's not a big investment on their part, but it gives him a chance to sort of show what he can do. And you know, he's always been labeled as a guy with potential, but he hasn't, as you said, been able to produce on the field and put up any really substantial numbers, and this year he'll get that chance, and if he's able to do it, he'll be out there, and he could be a Giant for a long time beyond that 1 year contract if he's able to. If he's not, then they move on, and by that time they'll have Jake Ballard back healthy from his knee, and they can move forward from there. And of course, there's always a draft. You know, don't forget, the Giants did lose two tight ends in the Super Bowl that they have to replace, so just bringing one in, there's probably still room for another. I would expect that they would draft a tight end at some point.
Yeah, and you got to figure they're going to bring in another running back along the way as well. Brandon Jacobs on his way to the San Francisco 49ers. And you still have Ahmad Bradshaw, who's your starter, but Tom, as you know, you can't really run him more than 12, 15 times a game with his chronic foot and ankle injuries, and he's just not a 20 carries a game type of back. There really aren't many of those guys left in the league, period. Do you think the guys on the roster right now, that's going to be the complement to Bradshaw, or is that going to be another deal, which I think it is, that they're going to look to the draft for that?
Yeah, I think they'll look for the draft, or they'll bring in a veteran guy, towards as we get closer to camp, and try and get somebody who's still out there. You know, one guy is Lawrence Maroney. That's a possibility. Just throwing names out there, not saying that anything is imminent with them. But he's that type of a guy that they could bring in and take a look at and sort of plug in and head into camp with. They could draft. They drafted Darrell Scott last year. They haven't really given him much of a look see there in the offense as it is. So, but he's not really a pounder the way that you would think that somebody would replace Jacobs and complement Bradshaw would have to be. DJ Ware, he's a little bit more like Bradshaw himself, a third down back. He can do some receiving things. Not really a power runner, so it'll be interesting to see if they do bring in a big body.
Your thoughts on Darrell Scott, talking to Giant fans, on Twitter and taking their calls here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Everyone wants to see this kid play. From what you've heard from talking to coaches, talking to personnel people, and seeing him on the practice field in training camp, do you think he's ready for more of a prime time role?
I think he's very fast. I remember watching the preseason game against the Patriots last year, and I thought that Andre Brown was doing really well in the first half of the game. And then all of a sudden, Darrell Scott came in and started taking off handoffs. So I think there was a fake punt, if I remember correctly, that he scored on. And it was like, all of a sudden watching a movie is fast forward that he was running so fast. It was unbelievable how quick and elusive he was and his speed. It never really translated this year in the regular season. They tried him as a kickoff return guy. That didn't quite work out and had him do a couple of other things. But I think if they could harness that speed, and obviously having him be there for the off-season work and get his head in the playbook like he wasn't able to last year because of the lockout, that'll help him a lot too. So I'm very... very curious to see what he's able to bring in 2012.
And Andre Brown's another guy that could have had the opportunity, but boy, with the report coming down a couple days ago about that suspension, he's not helping himself at all, is he?
Yeah, that's not a good way to start off a year that you an off season that you were hoping to make the team and really make an impact on the offense. Obviously, these things in the NFL take time, so this has been in the works for a while, I'm sure. And so it's going to be a hindrance to him. It's going to be something. Now he is allowed to work during the off season and during the preseason with the team. But once the season starts, he has to say goodbye for a month. And that's you have to wonder if the Giants are willing to wait a month for a third string running back when they can have somebody else in there doing the job just as well and just probably just as cheaply.
How do you see the offensive line shaking out, Tom? Is it just going to be dependent on maybe who they can get in the draft? Or do you think the Giants prefer to move deal to tackle? Do they like him better at guard? How do you see that offensive line situation shaping up?
Well, I think the offensive line did a lot better last year when Deal was at tackle.
I agree.
Than when he was at guard. And it just happened that he was at left tackle. We're all assuming Will Beatty's going to be back and just gonna step right in and nothing's going to be wrong. I haven't heard otherwise, but until we see that, then that's we can't just assume that that's going to happen. I mean, he had a very serious eye injury that he's recovering from. Mm-hmm. But if he is back at left tackle, then obviously the logical move, and I haven't heard anybody contradict this, is that they'll move Deal to right tackle. And I spoke to Dave last week. We were at an event in New York. New York City, and he said that he hasn't been told anything yet. He has no idea what position they want him to play because they're not allowed to talk to the coaches during the off season. That's one of the new stipulations in the collective bargaining agreement. But he expects that he'll probably be asked to play right tackle in place of Kareem McKenzie.
I'm going to switch over to the defensive side of the ball, Tom, real quick. Not a whole lot of question marks. Obviously, you got a ton of defensive linemen. Defensive tackle, though, could be an issue. Chris Canty had the offseason knee surgery, not supposed to be serious. Linval Joseph, obviously, had a good second year. But then you got Marvin Austin, a second-round pick last season. And once you get to August, really, this kid hasn't played in a football game in almost 3 years. How fast do you expect him to kind of fit in and become a potential factor for the Giants this year?
Well, nobody doubted his talent. I mean, when the Giants picked him last year, they thought they were getting a first-round pick,
right?
An extra first-round pick with him. But having missed two full years of football, you know, that's pretty rough. Now, sometimes that happens, and you see this sometimes with guys who go on missions, the Mormon missions, and they'll miss a couple years of football and come back. But then they get a chance to sort of get reacclimated to the sport in college and come back. So it's gonna be fascinating to watch how he does that. I know Jerry Reese, when he was at the owners' meetings, sort of expressed some reservations about Marvin Austin, whether or not he'd be able to pull this off after missing so much time off the field. You know, it's going to be an adjustment period for him, but you know, he certainly had the talent. I'm assuming he still does. So I don't think that goes anywhere when you're 24 years old or wherever he is.
I think the real question on defense, though, is where do the Giants go in terms of middle linebacker? Obviously, Jonathan Goff is a guy who was here last year. He had that knee injury. Chase Blackburn hasn't been re-signed. You got the young guys there, Greg Jones and Mark Herzlich. Where do you see the Giants going for a middle linebacker next season?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a strange position because when you use your sub package, your middle linebacker sort of comes off the field. So if you're in a sub package, say two-thirds of the time, maybe, or at least more than half, I would guess,
right,
during an NFL season, your middle linebacker isn't real. You know, it's not a Mike Singletary, on the field every play. So they do have an option. One of the names that Jerry mentioned last week was Michael Boley as a middle linebacker, which would be really interesting because he sort of plays that role anyway in the sub packages. So they may consider moving him in there, and they would have Jaquan Williams obviously on the outside, and they have Matthias Kiwanuka also who could play outside. Mark Herzlich too. He's not a true middle linebacker. He could play on the outside also if they asked him to. Greg Jones is more of a traditional middle linebacker, sort of a cement block of fire hydrant there in the middle that runs things and is a real thumper against the run. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they use Michael Boley on defense this year. You know, he had such an impactful season in 2011. They may look to get even more out of him in 2012.
There seemed to be some anticipation heading into this offseason that there would be some talking and maybe a little bit of trouble between O.C. Manure, who's entering the last year of his contract, and the Giants. O.C. obviously has lobbied for a contract extension the last couple of years. It hasn't come, but so far we haven't really heard a lot from the Giants' talented defensive end.
I'm sure that's gonna ratchet up too. as we get closer to the draft, that's probably when we'll start to hear a lot of trade rumors and teams that may or may not be interested in giving up a couple of picks for OCU Manure. Then the Giants have to decide how they want to handle this. OC's in his last year of his contract, and so is Matthias Kiwanuka. So they may have to make a decision between one or the other there and decide what they're going to do. And then if they decide that they want to just have OC play out his year and then let him go, does it make sense to at least pick up some draft picks for him then and just cut bait now? These are all decisions that have to be made, and a lot of them have to do with what OC wants too. They could come with an offer for him, and if he doesn't feel like it's appropriate, you look at all the money that people like Mario Williams is getting in Buffalo, maybe he'll turn up his nose at it and walk away and leave the Giants in a lurch next year. So, there's a lot of moving parts here. There's a lot of conversations going on, but I expect that by the draft, by the time we get to the serious OTAs in May and the minicamp, most of it will be settled.
I realize you've still got about 3.5 weeks, Tom, left until the NFL draft. Where do you see the Giants having their biggest needs. And we know Jerry Reese, and we hear it at his press conference every year before the draft. He doesn't mention any player names. He says, we're going to pick the best available player. But where do you see the Giants needing some help when the draft approaches in 3.5 weeks?
Well, you look at the positions where they lost players, and obviously we went over a couple of those,
right,
where it's tight end and running back. Everybody can always use an extra offensive lineman to add versatility. One of the positions that I was thinking about, though, was safety, and I think the Giants may be in a position to be looking for somebody, to come in and sort of learn behind Antrell Roll and Kenny Phillips. Because Kenny's going to be a free agent next year, and he had that knee surgery, and has never really become the impact player that he seemed like he was so destined to become before he had that surgery. Now, obviously, it's been only two seasons, and he still has time to salvage that and turn things around. But I can't see the Giants making Kenny Phillips a long-term offer based on the last two seasons that he's played for them. He's been solid for them, and he's done well, and he's shown flashes. But it's not a slam dunk re-signing for the Giants to be considering in 2013 that Kenny Phillips is going to be here for the next 5 to 6 years.
Do a couple quick hits with you, Tom, before we say goodbye. We're joined by Tom Rock, New York Giants beat reporter for Newsday. Tom, is Bill Parcells going to coach the New Orleans Saints this year?
I think so. I think he will. I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to have the appeal, and Sean Payton's still going to be suspended for the year, and he's going to turn to Uncle Bill and say, "Help me out here, Tuna," and he'll be down there in New Orleans, and of course that means he'll be up here at MetLife Stadium too at some point in the 2012 season.
I wonder when that happens, if they might decide to reschedule that home of that opening game on Wednesday when the season starts.
Yeah, they locked into this. Well, I think the NFL wants to downplay the suspension as much as possible.
Yeah, fair point.
But the return of Bill Parcells, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to trumpet.
And I'm assuming all those appeals by the Saints and at Sean Payton, they're all going to be laid by the wayside by the commissioner, I would imagine.
I would imagine. It sounds like they're hoping to get everything done by the end of the week. I was at an event on Monday with the commissioner, and it sounded like Friday was when he wanted to have everything sort of set in stone.
How bad do you think these player suspensions are going to be?
I don't think they'll be as bad as it was for the coaches, and the general manager a year. Maybe 2 to 4 games. I guess that's pretty bad in the larger scheme of things. You're talking about taking away a quarter of somebody's salary, but I don't think that anybody's going to get more than half a year.
Tom, we appreciate the time, my friend, and we look forward to see you. I guess the next time you're going to be here is for the pre-draft Jerry Reese press conference, right?
I'm looking forward to it, and then at the end of the middle of May, we get to go to Tiffany's, and the players get their Super Bowl rings, and eventually go to the White House. So it's always a fun off season when the team wins the Super Bowl.
No doubt about it, Tom. It was a fun season. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, John.
That's Tom Rock, New York Giants beat reporter from Newsday. We thank him for joining us on this morning's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. And, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every weekday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. We take your calls at 201-939-4513, and we take your questions via Twitter at #GiantsChat. And, of course, the Giants announced yesterday that they're going to host their first ever tweet-up for 50 lucky fans. It's presented by Pepsi Max, and it'll feature Antrell Roll and tight end Jake Boward on Wednesday, April 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Timex Performance Center. That's in the evening. Registration did begin on Monday at 9 a.m., so go to giants.com/tweetup to register and for more information. 50 lucky fans who sign up at giants.com/tweetup and who also follow @Giants and @Pepsi Max on Twitter will be randomly selected to attend the event. The tweet-up will feature Q&A sessions with both players, Jake Bowden and Antrell Roll, and photo opportunities inside the Giants locker room, weight room, and with the Giants' 4 Lombardi trophies. In addition, each tweet-up participant will receive 2 tickets to the Giants Draft Day Party held Thursday, April 26th, the first night of the draft. That's the first round at MetLife Stadium, courtesy of Pepsi Max. And again, for more information, go to Giants.com/tweetup. Later on today, make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com. You will have all the information and a special feature from Joe Skiba, a special edition of Equipped on Giants.com, giving you an inside look at the Giants' brand new uniforms and their new deal with Nike. So make sure you check out Giants.com for that. Tomorrow, we'll have Joe Skiba live on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You'll be able to talk about the Giants jerseys. We'll take your calls at 201-939-4513 and take your questions on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Michael Eisen will join us on Thursday. Friday, no show. Good Friday. The Timex Performance Center and the Giants offices will be closed. Thank you for joining us today on Giants.com, everybody. We appreciate it. Enjoy it. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.